Hallelujah. Well, there's no bondage in here tonight, praise God. I want you guys to be very, very careful because people are pushing the new age junk right now. And somebody tried to push it in here today, but we threw the stuff away. You be very careful. I don't care who it is. I don't care what's going on. Be careful what's being pushed on you. Now, I am your shepherd. I warn you over and over and over again. You have to watch the fruit. The fruit might look good, but I'm going to tell you what. There was some stuff in here today that was not of God. And you've got to be very careful. God told me a couple years ago the Jezebels have come back into the church. And what did the Jezebels come after? The prophets and revival. And they'll do anything they can to stop the prophets and revival. Now, you guys be on the alert. And I'm going to be on the alert too. And we're not going to allow anything to come in here and to destroy what God's doing. You guys have went through too much. You worked too hard to get where you're at today, to have 5 seconds of somebody's stupidity take you down a path you don't want to go. All right? Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory for just letting the joy of the Lord just come into the house of God tonight. I thank you, Father God, that you nudged me and told me it was time to pull the balloons down. I thank you, Father, that your children enjoyed the dancing before you and playing with the balloons like little children. And now, Father God, I'm asking you to instill in them your anointing of wisdom and discernment. I'm asking you, Father God, that you just come down in a mighty way tonight, change and rearrange the people. Father, there's people in here that really, truly need to be set free. I'm asking you, Father God, to do that abundantly tonight. We aren't going to rely on the world system to set us free because it doesn't work. But, Father God, we are relying on you to set us free. And, Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' holy, mighty name. Amen. Well, if you read the word that I put on there for today, I was just sitting at my computer really studying. All of a sudden, God started speaking to me, and you really need to read it. It's already on there. I read it before I came. It's on the website. We have to be ever on the alert. Ever on the alert, but also out there pushing the gospel of the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. I know that everybody in here wants to one day make heaven their home. I know that. In order for you to do that, you're going to have to keep yourself set free. We do our part, and then you have to do your part. And what better, you know, the church is really a good ground for the enemy to come in and destroy, isn't it? Because, see, we're so in love with God that we don't realize that Satan comes in with his little demons too, to just sort of sneak through while you're enjoying God and to sneak through and place a spirit on you. You know, please, 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 from what God told me today, please be on the alert at all times, where you're at, who you're with, what you're doing, because the enemy would love to take you out right now. And the glory is about ready to fall in all of its fullness. It is. It's just building up and building up. And it's just going to come through here like a great big rushing wind. And I want to see each one of you sitting here when that happens. I don't want any of you missing out on that glory drop. You'll just kick yourself all the way to hell. I mean, you will if you miss the glory drop, because it's the most wonderful thing that you could ever experience, is the glory of God dropping upon you. First, I'm going to read about you are lavishly loved. And see, if you don't understand that God loves you, you're not going to make it. All right? You have to understand how much God loves you. I've always known that God loved me, so I have a hard time comprehending that people think that God doesn't love them. I just have a hard time with that. Because he's so good. He's just so good. And you know, bad things happen to good people too. We're not exempt. In fact, we're hit more than the world is. But God still loves you even though you're hit, right? Look how much he loved Paul. He loved Paul so much he left him to be in prison about most of his life. You know? You say, don't love me that much, Lord, right? But, you know, if that's what God desires for your life, well, then Go ahead and enjoy it. Paul enjoyed it. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." Lavish is an incredibly rich word. It means over the top, more than you can imagine. Every woman wants her husband to love them like that. Don't we, Nancy? It means over the top, more than you can imagine. Wouldn't it be wonderful for women if all the men loved us that way, like God loves us, over the top, and more than we. And all you young guys that aren't married yet, remember this. Your wife wants you to love them over the top and more than they could ever imagine. No matter how great we are, we do not naturally deserve to be called sons and daughters of God. Even if we achieved academic honors in school, the highest promotions in our jobs, and every other qualification this world could possibly offer, we would never merit such a gift from God. Only His free and lavish love gives us the most beautiful title of all. Not doctor, not lawyer, not apostle, not prophet, not evangelist, but son or daughter, and I put, and friend. I think when He calls you friend, that's the greatest name He could ever call you. We are the family God went out and found. You didn't find God. I hear so many people say, "Well, I found God today." No, you didn't. God's always been after you, and you finally gave in to Him. God was so determined to call us sons and daughters that He has suffered on a cross and died. Jesus and His Father are one. Whatever the Father does, Jesus does. John 5:19 says, "Then Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that He Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." So in other words, you have to understand how much God loves you. And if you really understand that, comprehend that, then you will be just like Jesus, and the only thing you will do is what you see Jesus do, just as Jesus did with His Father. Because the two loved each other so extravagantly, and they agreed, you know, they were just in one mind and one accord, and Jesus wouldn't think of doing anything unless the Father told Him to do it. They act together, and the cross expresses the unity of their love for us. That was quite a sacrifice that Jesus did. And He had to be in unity with the Father and come into agreement with Him to come down here and hang on that cross. That was love. That was love. You know, when you watch the movie about Jesus being crucified, do you ever think what went through the mother's mind? That was her son. And she had to stand there and watch all that go on. You know, I don't want anybody to even say anything mean to my kids, let alone do all that what they did to them. Do you ever stop thinking how that tore her heart apart? Do you ever think of how she was crying inside? That was her son. And she had to watch him be sacrificed. Jesus died so we could be brothers and sisters to one another. To one another. Before that, we could not be one family. Heidi, you know Heidi Baker. You know, she's so extravagantly in love with God, she can't stand her own self. Amen. She said, "I have been beaten up, shot at, and lied about. People have even tried to strangle me, but I'm not afraid. To this day, I can walk boldly into gangs of armed thugs and tell them to stop in the name of Jesus. I expect them to drop their knives." She expects them to do that. Generally, they turn surprisingly nice, Sometimes they'd look at me and apologize. She says, where did this confidence come from? It came from knowing the Father loves me. Are you listening? She says, because I truly know that I am loved, I am not afraid. So as I read her little statement, I thought, okay, all these people walk around in fear. You must not know that the Father loves you, or you wouldn't be afraid. Think about that. You are a beloved child of God. God wants your ministry to flow from the realization that you are a beloved child of God. If you have a ministry and you don't know that, then you don't have a ministry. Because you're going to have to know that you're loved, because you're going to have to know that. You're going to have to know that without a shadow of a doubt that you're loved by the Father, or you're not going to make it. That's why marriages are all messed up, is because the women don't know, they aren't sure that their husband loves them. And so they do all kind of dumb things. Women, quit doing dumb things. If they don't love you, tell them to hit the road, because God will give you somebody to love you. Sorry, but that's the way it goes. Instead of making yourself a mess and messing your life up, why would you do that? Why would you allow some man or even some woman mess your life up like that? They're not worth it. Because then if they're doing that, they're not true children of God, right? Because a true man and woman of God wouldn't do that to their spouse. They wouldn't do that to their children either, because, all right, man, you're supposed to be the father like the Father in heaven is. And you're supposed to love your children as God loves your children. I don't care if they're your natural children, or if they're your just children you're around. You're supposed to love these children just as God loves them. Have you ever thought about how angry God gets when you mistreat a child? They're defenseless. They can't help themselves. You're a big towering bully over them, and you're acting like a fool. Do you think God's sitting up in heaven smiling at that? No, no way. You're going to be held accountable for how you... Because God told me, I'm going to hold you accountable how you bring up your children. So you might think you're going to go through those pearly gates, but are you really? When you stand before him, he'll say, okay, now here's so-and-so. Look what you did to them. That wasn't bringing them up in the ways of the Lord. This is fact, not fiction. So I just want you guys to stop and think. Oh, I want a baby. Well, think about what you're going to have to give up for this baby that you thought you needed, this cute little fair-haired thing running around. They need your love. They need your attention. They need pampering. That's why you have such messed up kids, because there was no fathers in this generation that just come up. There was no fathers. There were just people who were making children, and the children were left to fend for themselves. And see, this is why we have a mess. Any child that's left to fend for themselves, they'll fend for themselves, all right. And you have a whole big mess. I don't know why I'm saying this, but somebody in here needs to hear that. You need to start being a father. You know, when I was young, you know, my father left my stepmother close the door on us. I came home from church with my other five brothers and sisters, and our little box of clothes was sitting on the porch because we only had one outfit apiece. And the door was locked, screen door was locked. And she said, you can't come in anymore. You don't live here no longer. We were devastated. And I said, Daddy, please let me in. He was sitting there watching his football game. He turned his back on us and she shut the door. So we walked down to the bottom of the hill, and I went to the neighbors and called my Sunday school teacher and told her what happened. And they came and picked us kids up. But my father suffered for that all his life. And finally, when he got saved, I always went to see him because I loved him. And I know he was doing the only thing he could do, he thought, because he had six children to her too. And before he died, he called all of us, his first six kids up, and apologized and told us how much he always loved us and told us how much he suffered for turning his back on us. But see, he lived, and us kids really were happy. You know, they put us in homes, and, you know, only one of my sisters was treated badly. The rest of us were treated really well. But we were happy, and he was living in total misery because he allowed some woman to kick his kids out of his home. It wasn't her home, it was his home. See, we all could have been happy, but we were happy, and he wasn't. So, man, I want you to start thinking about something. How are you still treating your kids, no matter how old they are? As I was married and had kids of my own, when my father called me and said, please forgive me for what I did to you when you was a young child. So I want you to think about that tonight. Somebody in here needs to hear this. I never blame my mother and father for what they did, because you know what? I wasn't in their shoes. And you don't know what you're going to do before you die. So don't be judging your parents for what they did to you. You just say, God, I'll never let that happen to my kids. And that was my promise to God. If I ever have children, they will never know suffering like I did. And they never did. They're spoiled, rotten little brats. But they never knew suffering. Maybe they needed to suffer a little. You know, I think I went to the other extreme. But I made a covenant with God. They would never know a divorce in the family. And they would never know. They would never suffer. And they didn't. So instead of you complaining about what your parents did to you, why don't you make a promise to yourself? If I ever have children, they'll never know pain. Come on. Don't bring them up like you were brought up, because that is what the enemy will try to have you do, you know. He'll try to make you bring your kids up the way you were brought up, and you don't want that. So you're the adult here. You're the ones making choices in life, and you choose to bring them up in the love and admonition of the Lord. All right? Now I lost my place. All right. No, I don't know where I'm at. Oh, you are a beloved child of God. I want you to get that in your spirit right now. Throw your junk out. You are a beloved child of God, period. No question, you just flat are. God wants your ministry to flow from the realization that you are a beloved child of God. In that place, you don't worry too much about how people see you. You don't worry too much about whether they are nice or mean. You don't even worry about whether they love you or hate you. You don't worry, because you're simply going to love them and love Him. First of all, we love Him. And then because we love Him, we can love others. This comes from knowing who He is and what He thinks of you. This comes from knowing who He is and what He thinks of you. Who is He? He's your Heavenly Father. He's the one who placed you in your mother's womb. He's the one who breathed life into you. And He loves you. That's what He thinks of you. Even when you have a dirty, runny nose, He still loves you. Even when you're doing something back of the woodshed, smoking a cigarette you shouldn't be smoking, He still loves you. You know, He just loves you. You're precious in His sight. This is what it means to grasp the fact that you are a child of God. Say, well, but what if we make messy mistakes? You will. What if it turns out we are still flawed people who can be difficult to get along with? You are. Will He keep on loving us then? Of course He will. Why would you even think He wouldn't? What is God's comment towards us when we mess up? My grace is sufficient. I know. My grace is sufficient. That's what He says to you. But Lord, my grace is sufficient. Go on, move on, forget it, move on. I've already forgotten it. My grace is sufficient. I once read a story about a couple who took in a very troubled little girl. She broke everything in sight. I didn't really read a story after I read it. I thought, no, I didn't read a story. The couple was on Christian TV and they were telling their story. Anyhow, she broke everything in sight. She cussed. She threw her food at the couple. She was very mean and cruel. In other words, she wasn't nice at all. But all the couple did was love her. They never spanked her. They never yelled at her, because she already had all that before they got her. She was already a troubled child. They simply loved on her. After 1 year, the little girl came to them and said, "You really do love me, don't you?" And from that point on, she was a perfect little girl. She didn't need more the slapping and the cussing and putting her down. She had that, enough of that, and that's why she was who she was. The pain went so deep. But for one full year, I look around, and one of you in here tonight, not one of us in here tonight could do that for one full year. We'd have to put a little 2 cents in there somewhere along the road. But it wouldn't be right. Every time I read something like this, I think about psych care. God told you, if you'll just love him, just love him through his hatefulness, I'll change him. And see, you know, when little Gabriel came back to me, God said, daughter, he's going to be really messed up. But if you'll just love him, I'll change him, I promise. And every now and then I forget God said that. But I have to keep reminding myself, God told me he was going to be like this. And if I would just love him, he'll change him. He doesn't need any more what he had when he was taken away from the house. He needs security. He needs love. Amen. But, you know, it's people are cruel. They make sure they keep telling him things that will mess him up. You know, they make sure they keep being really, they know he's hurting. They know he's in a lot of pain, but they still keep hurting him over and over again. You know, sometimes you like to take him up into the mountain and just be you and them, away from all the pain, away from all the voices, you know. But we don't live in that kind of a world, do we? The spirit of adoption, we're still talking about this little girl. The parents' joy was seeing her finally come home to the father's house and step into the spirit of adoption. She finally found out who she was. She is a daughter. She finally realized that the parents and God loved her no matter how many tantrums she threw, no matter how bad she was, no matter how she cussed, stole, or whatever. She realized she is loved because of the incredible grace of God that comes down to call each of his sons and daughters. She finally realized, hey, you're going to love me no matter what I do. And you're not going to treat me like the other people treated me. You're just going to love me. And that changed her whole life. How many of you sitting in here, you have troubled children, but you don't love them the way you ought? You need to quit. It's destroying your ministry. And you need to start loving. None of us deserve it. We simply have it. I mean, God's love that he lavished upon us. You need to stop and think you're not perfect. And there's things you do that God should really smack you up alongside the head for, but he doesn't. He brings his grace and that perfect love into your life. And he just keeps loving. He even gives you good prophetic words. And you know when you're getting that good prophetic word, you just was rotten to the core. But you're standing up here and you're hearing that good word God's given you. Everybody think, oh, aren't they wonderful? I think, get out of here. Come on. I hope you understand that in your mess, God's encouraging you with his words of love. That come on, you don't need to stay in that mess. You can come forth because I do love you. Jesus even goes down through the quarters of hell and weeps over the people. He still loves them even though they went to hell, but he can't help them. So if he still loves you when you're in hell and you rejected him and you're still in hell and he walks the quarters of hell crying, he weeps over you. That's what Mary Catherine Baxter said, right? That's love. That's pure, unadulterated love. Your Heavenly Father loves you the same way as these parents love this child. He wants you no matter what you do or how you fail. He wants you. This is the love he spoke over us when he sent his son to the cross. It is what Jesus poured out of the cross. It is a thing the church must demonstrate to the world. This kind of lavish love can never die. You know, this church is supposed to be a church of love. It's not supposed to be a church where you come in here and the men grope all over you or the women grope all over the men or, you know, people are cruel to you. This is supposed to be a church of love. Love is what destroys the yoke of the enemy. I don't want an ordinary church. I don't want to be like the church down in the corners. I want to be different. I want to be a church that has love that abounds to everybody. Where love doesn't look at the way you dress. It doesn't look at the way you talk. It doesn't look at, you know, what you've done. It looks at you. It looks at you through the eyes of Jesus and only sees you as the child he created. A perfect child that he loves, even though we're not perfect. He loves us with all of our flaws. You are royalty. Because of this love, we have become children of God. Even if we do not yet believe it, this is what we truly are. We read 1 John 3:1 to start with, but let's read it again. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Right now in this house of God, God has children who will not believe they are truly loved. Right now, this night, in this house, there are people sitting in here that will not believe that they are truly loved by God. Why do you do that? Is it because that gives you an excuse to serve the devil? Why do you do that? You know how much God loves you. He's given you the best gift that he has. Come on. If the Holy Spirit ever touches people in such a way that they realize they are sons or daughters instantly, you know, right away touches them that way, then we ought to celebrate it as a mighty miracle. Because sometimes it takes years for God's children to realize how much they are loved by their Heavenly Father. Isn't that the truth? You can sit here and honestly, you know, say, I didn't receive God's love for 15 years. Or however many years it was. Even though you sat and even though you read about his love, you heard about his love, you couldn't receive it. Anyhow, I understand that there's spirits inside of you that are telling you that God doesn't love you. I understand that. I understand that there's spirits inside of you that's putting a glass wall between you and the love of God. I understand that. But I'm saying to you tonight, let's go past all that. And let's understand that God truly does. What you should say is, God truly does love me, just as I am. Amen? Come on. Come on. I'm going to just tell myself, and with this weight that I've gained, and I can't lose it no matter what I do, and I know it's demonic, I really feel like I'm a disgrace to God. I really do. And I go to God, how can you love me? You know, because God doesn't want this. So I'm struggling with that. And what are you struggling with? But he loves me anyhow. I think that's why he visited me Saturday when I was sitting in the chair. He loves us just the way we are. He understands everything about us. So let's just let him go ahead and love us. Let's quit rejecting his love. That's what the enemy wants. You know, he wants us to reject the love of God. Let's not allow him to do that anymore. You know, we need to accept ourselves as we are and then receive God's love the way he wants to love us. Because until we can accept ourselves the way we are, we're not going to be able to receive the fullness of God's love. You are a son or a daughter right now, today. Not tomorrow when you lose 40 pounds. Or not tomorrow when you quit smoking cigarettes or whatever it is. He loves you right now, today, just as you are. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you have to have received Jesus Christ into your life in order to be led by the Spirit. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. See, we have to understand we're heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. God loved his son Jesus. He didn't send him down there because he's upset with him. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, but God didn't allow that. So God still loved Abraham, even though he sort of hesitated, but he did what the Father told him to do. But he really didn't want to do it. God never quit loving Abraham. And he was sure not going to take his son from him. Amen. Your real identity is in this truth. It doesn't matter what people do or do not call you. It doesn't matter where you do or do not sit. In other words, whether you sit in high places or not, God still loves you. You are a son and you are a daughter and you are a friend. To be a son or daughter of God always means you are royalty. We're you know, he's the king of kings, isn't he? And we're king's kids, so we are royalty. This is the greatest of privileges, but it is also an an awesome responsibility. If you are truly thankful to God and want to please Him with all your heart, you must do more than just recognize your own authority. You must use it. Because if you understand that that God loves you, and if you understand that you're a son or daughter of God, then you have power in there. And we need to start using that power that we have because God loves us and we are His sons or daughters. He asks you to give love as freely as you have received it. So many people hold back that love. They won't give that love out. They hold on to it. You want them to work for their love, and that God didn't make you work for it. Come on. He asked you to give love as freely as you have received it, not just to those who deserve it. Who deserves it? But also to everyone He puts in front of you. Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I just wanted to get that freely in there. You know, some of you know that you have been rotten to the core, but yet God still loved you. He never took His hand of mercy or grace off of you. He stood right there beside you while you were sinning. And you did it all in the name of Jesus to boot. You know, come on, get out of here. I've never heard such tall tales in all my life is what I hear out of Christian people. They're sinning and they say, God's in all this. No, He's not. No, He's not. The devil is, but God isn't. Quit it. Quit fooling yourself. Quit. God calls it self-deception. God is not into sin. Never has been, never will be. He's not into perversion. Never has been, never will be. The devil's in it, but God isn't. But that doesn't make you any less His child. But you know, He'll weep over you even as you go to hell. Come on. Don't use excuses to do what you want to do. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. If you love Him, you're not going to do some of the things you've been doing. If you love Him, you're going to work really, 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 really hard to get out of those bad habits that you have. You'll cry and you'll throw a fit and jump up and down and you'll do all kinds of things. Beat the floor to get out of those sins that you're in. Because you know that He loves you and you love Him and you don't want to hurt Him. You know, I was one, I never wanted to do anything to make my earthly father embarrassed with me. Because he always taught me about integrity. And that carried on over into my walk with God. I never wanted to do anything that would hurt God. I have, but I never wanted to. Are you understanding this? You know, when I was in doubt and unbelief, God said, I'm going to take your candlestick. I mean, He meant it, and I thought He was going to hit me over the head with it, too. What was that? You know, your candlestick is your ministry. If you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, and He wasn't nice about it, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm taking your candlestick from you. I said, no, don't do that, Lord. He said, and get out of your mess then. So if He's going to be that way with me, He's going to be that way with you too. He's not going to let you die on the vine. He's going to talk to you. And He does it because He loves you. You know, if God chastens somebody, they get all upset. Well, He can't love me. Why does He talk to me like that? Dummy, that. You know, He could let you go straight to hell and never say a word to you. But because of His great love that He has for you, He has to chasten you. He has to bring you down. He has to put you in that place where you're going to look at yourself real closely and see who you truly are. A lot of us think we're something we're not. And so the only one thing God can do is to put a situation in your life to let you see that, hey, you're not all that and then some. And if you think you're such a great big lover, and I'm talking about being, you love everybody, then He's going to start putting unlovable people in your life, and you're going to say, hey, I don't have as much love as I thought I had. I had a lot of love and everything was going great. But when God put a whole lot of unlovable people in my life, I found out, hey, you need to go back there and work on that love walk because it's not what you thought it was. And I'm being serious. This is where God took me to. He said, I'm going to let you see where your love walk is not what it should be, you know? I thought, oh, dear Lord. What did Peter, what did one of the disciples say, you know, give us more grace, or what did they say? Increase our faith. Increase our faith. I said, God, increase my love. I was talking about all this love stuff, and so God said, I'm going to let you see something about yourself. And so he did, and I didn't like what I saw. I could love you just as good as God could, as long as you're good. But don't you get messed up now. I'm going to get on you, and I'm not going to love the unlovable. Come on, everybody in here, you've been down that path. Don't say you haven't, because you do get up here at the altar and repent. And I'm serious. We all think that we're just so much, and then God's going to pull the rug out from underneath you and just let you see yourself as you really are. When Nancy was crying for 4 days and 4 nights, she saw who she really was, right, Sister Nancy? She didn't like some of the things she saw. Come on. God's asking you, are you really ready to get cleaned up? Are you ready to get it cleaned up from the inside out? Instead of the outside, the cup being clean and the inside dirty. Are you really, truly ready to be clean? If you are, God wants to clean you up tonight. He wants to start on the inside and wash you clean on the inside so that the outside matches the inside. But see, it really doesn't match, because the outside wasn't truth. It was a facade. But when he cleans you up on the inside, what's on the inside is going to come out.